Ladies and gentlemen, many of us, if not most of us, will have seen the Honours of Scotland recently on TV. That was a special occasion for a number of people, but principally two people who are in the congregation today, one of whom has made a journey here for a special reason, and that person is Dr. Joe Morrow, the Lord Lyon of Scotland. He was officiating very extensively at St. Giles at the ceremony. We are honoured to have him here today, but we're also honoured to know that one of our congregation is to receive an award for having been a participant, and that is our own Reverend Dr. Chuachong. Joe has made a special journey, and he would like to come forward now to make a presentation to Amos for having taken part. Doctor, thank you.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very pleased to be with you. I didn't think I would be speaking this morning. I came to do this quietly so that nothing would get lost in the post. Hence, I don't have to even put a tie on. But I'm an Episcopalian and I belong to St. Mary's across the road, and we don't wear ties, but it doesn't look like many of you wear ties either, so we're all at home. As many of you will know, and it was a wonderful intro today, which is about going to see the higher king, which is our Father in heaven, but actually this was a presentation that I had to make because your minister took part in the Royal Honours of Scotland, and we took those Royal Honours in St. Giles Cathedral, the High Kirk, and we presented them to the King and the Queen, and your minister took part in the worship and in the prayers there. After that, I made application for all those who had participated to receive the Coronation Medal, which is a fairly rare medal to be given out, and it's a medal that only goes out to those who have taken part in the coronation or the coronation events. So I came along this morning to present Reverend Amos with the Coronation Medal. If he just stays there. I thought I would do it quietly, but they asked if I'd do it in front of you. The Coronation Medal's in the royal colours, which are blue, white and red, and it has on it the head of the King and the Queen, and marks on the back of it with Charles III's insignia. So it's with great pleasure, and also with my thanks, that Amos was able to represent this congregation and this area in the Honours of Scotland, that I present to him and pin on him, hopefully onto his jacket and not onto him, the Coronation Medal with my thanks. And I hope he enjoys happiness and health to wear it, and the letter of appointment and the box, which is probably the nicest bit of the lot. So congratulations to you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. But most especially, welcome to the Lord Lyon and for his very kind words to us this morning. If anybody told me about 6 or 7 years ago, even 11 years ago when I came to Scotland, that someday I would be officiating at the King's ceremony, I would have said without doubt that no, it's not possible. I have found myself in a country where everything is possible, no matter where you come from. And from the bottom of my heart, I wish to extend my appreciation through you, the Lord Lyon, to the King and the Queen and the royal family, for their very generous offer of presenting these honors to me this morning, and also recognizing our congregation for the work of witness that we are doing in this place for the Church of Scotland and for Scotland and the United Kingdom. Thank you very much, and God bless you. We will now continue with our worship this morning, and we begin with our introit psalm, which is Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, 356, Meekness and Majesty. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts of gratitude, acknowledging your steadfast love that has seen us through the quiet hours of the night. We thank you for bringing us together in your presence here at Newport on Tay Church of Scotland. Your grace makes it possible for us to gather in your name, and for this we are deeply thankful. Lord, as we worship in your house today, we ask for your guidance. Help us to focus on your word and teachings. Open our hearts and minds to learn lessons that will transform us into better individuals capable of bringing positive influence to the world around us. We recognize, O God, that many among us have come with heavy burdens and responsibilities seeking a word of hope and encouragement. As we sing hymns, read your word, and offer our prayers, may your Holy Spirit bring the much needed hope and comfort to every weary heart. Dear Father, our world in its current state yearns for renewal, change, and transformation. We long for a reality filled with lasting peace and joy. Use us, Lord, in your service to stand in the gap for those unable to pray for themselves due to the conditions they face. Empower us to be instruments of your peace and agents of the change our world desperately needs. As the Apostle Paul reminds us, you often use the weak and the foolish things of the world to accomplish your purposes. In humility, we acknowledge our frequent failures in serving humanity and being faithful in our calling. Too often, we have been self-reliant, overlooking how you can use even the simplest things and talents to fulfill your will. For these shortcomings and our sins, we ask for your forgiveness. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Teach us to rely not on our strength, but on your unfailing grace. Help us to be vessels of your love and light, bringing hope and transformation wherever we go. This we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. morning, children. Good morning, children. How are you today? Very few of you are here this morning. Where are the others? Are they still sleeping because it's too cold? So how are you this morning? Good. Are you ready to hear some story from me this morning? Yes. Good. You all seem very excited, even more than myself, who have received an honor this morning. Now, I will begin with questions. Can you remember any persons whom you may think are strong or wise? Any wise or strong persons, or just say important persons. Do you know any important persons? Yes? Oh, mom and dad. Wow, what an answer. Mom and dad, these are important persons. Yes?
My mommy.
Your mommy. That's good. Your mommy is very important. Yes, please.
My daddy, yeah.
Jesus Christ, the Lord, is an important person. Now, do you know any other important persons that maybe you watch on TV? Some important people that maybe you may see them on TV. Maybe in movies. Do you watch movies? Do you? But you don't know. What do you think about the king? Is he an important person? The king is a very important person. Yes? What about the prime minister? He is an important person. The first minister of Scotland. All these people are important people. We could even say they are strong people. We could even say they are wise people. So you can also think of superheroes in some of the movies that you watch. These are all very strong people or smart people. What about people in school? Do you have some of your friends you really think are very smart? Yes? Louis and Finley, you even have names. You think they are very smart. That's good. So they do so well in school, and that's why you think they are smart. Now, do you ever feel like you are not as smart as some of your friends? Sometimes. I do feel sometimes that I'm not as smart as some of my friends do. So sometimes all of us may feel that we are not as smart as other people. And sometimes we may even feel that we are not competent enough to do certain things. But this morning I want to talk about how God sees all of us. He sees all of us as very, very important people. And in the Bible, he says that he uses the weak people or the people who are not too smart to accomplish great things or great purposes. What that means is that we should not look down on ourselves. We shouldn't feel that we are not smart enough, because God uses everybody, and God loves us the way we are. This is not to say that we shouldn't put effort in our studies or in our learning in school, but that we should not think less of ourselves, because God exactly is interested in the people who may be not too smart or who feel that they are not too smart. God loves all of us. God values all of us. And God wants to use all of us. And as long as we give ourselves to God, we continue to coming to church, coming to Sunday school and learning, God will use us to accomplish many, many big things in our country, in our society, and in the world. So we may be small, we may not be too smart, but God loves us and God sees us as very important people. Let us pray. God, our Father, we give you thanks for this morning. And we thank you especially for your word to us and especially to our children. Sometimes they may feel that they are not smart enough, they are not strong enough, but you teach us in your word that you value all of us and you see all of us as important people who can make valuable contributions to society. Help our children and all of us to grow in our faith and to trust that you can use us in whatever way you desire to accomplish great things for your kingdom here on earth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is 550, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you."
Our first reading this morning is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. Samuel anoints David. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then made Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. And the second reading is from Corinthians, first book of Corinthians, verses 26 to 31. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. And our next hymn is 533, "Will You Come and Follow Me?"
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, in a world often clouded with confusion and uncertainty, your word stands as a beacon of clarity and hope. As we reflect upon the scriptures, help us to discern your voice amidst the many voices that clamor for our attention. Open our eyes that we might see the wonders hidden within your word. Open our ears that we might hear your teachings clearly, and open our minds that we might understand the depths of your truths. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, dear members of the Newport on Tay Church of Scotland, when the Lord Lyon was putting this medal from the coronation on me, I was just thinking in relation to the text from 1 Samuel, and what better example than myself of a young man from a village in Cameroon called Bu. You would not even find it easily on the map of Cameroon. From that village all the way to the United Kingdom, pastoring such a wonderful congregation, and now with a medal from the royal family. This is how God uses even the smallest and the most obscure things of the world to accomplish great things for his kingdom. And so I want to reflect with you this morning on the theme, Divine Choice Turns the World Upside Down. Divine choice turns the world upside down. Have you ever paused to ponder what your life might have been like if you had not embraced Christianity? It is possible some people feel they might have been better off avoiding certain challenging individuals encountered within the church. These experiences can be perplexing, especially when such people profess faith in God, yet act contrary to his teachings. However, let us reflect honestly. As devoted learners in the teachings of Jesus Christ, can we not see how our faith has molded us into beautifully refined individuals? Our Lord Jesus Christ imparted lessons on civility, forgiveness, reconciliation, kindness, and numerous other virtues essential for harmonious living. He proposed an astonishing concept that continues to mystify many people. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This directive is more than moral guidance. It is a strategy to halt the perpetuation of evil. By refusing to retaliate with malice, we prevent the endless cycle of wrongdoing. Remembering how our lives have been enriched by our faith, we should feel a profound sense of gratitude. Our journey, despite its deviations and challenges, is a testament to God's selection and call for us to be his own. This reflection should cultivate a deep thankfulness within us, recognizing that our lives have been irrevocably and beautifully transformed through our faith in Christ. So the Apostle Paul gives us a historical lesson. It is not just about dates and events. It is about our growth as people, and it is crucial we don't forget our roots, especially how God's kindness has transformed us. The apostle of the Lord is asking the folks in Corinth to take a trip down memory lane, to remember their humble beginnings as they count their current blessings. Paul points out that back in the day, before they got their call to a better life, they were not exactly what you would call wise, at least not in the way people usually think about smarts. They were not the ones calling the shots in society, and they certainly were not born with silver spoons in their mouths. But here is the kicker. Despite all that, God picked them out for a special purpose. Why, you ask me? Well, it is like a big cosmic reminder that all the muscle, brains, and power we chase after is not what really is really valued up above in the heavenlies. God often taps the unlikely ones, the underdogs, for the biggest jobs. This is a major wake-up call about how the world thinks about success and importance. It is not about how loud we can brag or how high we can climb on our own. What God does is radical. He takes those who are often overlooked or dismissed, the ones society might not think are worth much, and he uses them to turn everything on its head. That way, nobody can strut around in God's presence, because it is not about what we do. It is about what he does through us. There is a very interesting story entitled The Tale of Two Mountains. It is about two individuals who lived in two separate mountains in the same city. Their lives and characters were as different as day and night. Aidan was a humble farmer with a heart as fertile as the land he tilled, and Ilara was a wealthy landowner known for her towering pride as much as her towering estate. Aidan lived a simple life, rising with the sun to tend his crops and animals. He believed in the goodness of hard work and the virtue of humility. His hands, though calloused, were always extended in kindness and help. Aidan's farm flourished not just in produce, but in love and respect for his neighbors. The villagers often said, "Aidan doesn't just grow crops, he cultivates goodness." Ilara, in contrast, was as haughty as she was rich. She looked down upon the villagers, believing her worth made her superior. Her days were spent adorning her already lavish mansion, turning a blind eye to the needs of those below her mountain. "Why should I care for those who have achieved so little?" she would often scoff. As time passed, Aidan's humble farm blossomed into a thriving hub of community activity. People from neighboring villages would visit, not just to buy his produce, but to seek his wisdom and friendship. His generosity and kindness became the seeds from which community spirit grew. Meanwhile, Elara's pride isolated her. Servants left, unable to bear her arrogance. Her wealth, once a source of pride, became a fortress of solitude. The more she focused on her riches and status, the more she lost touch with the world around her. Her mountain became her prison. Then came the year of the great drought. The land parched and crops failed. Aidan's farm, nurtured by his sustainable practices and the support of his community, survived the crisis, albeit with difficulties. Ilara, on the other hand, saw her vast estate wither away. Without the loyalty of those she had scorned, she was helpless. In her hour of need, it was Aden who came to her aid. With the same hands that tended his land, he extended help to Elera. Humbled and broken, Elera realized the hollowness of her pride. She saw in Aden's eyes not a hint of I told you so, but only the genuine concern of a fellow being. From that day on, Elera changed. She learned that true worth was not in the gold that filled her coffers, but in the relationships that filled one's life. She started working alongside Aden, learning the virtues of humility and the joy of being part of a community. My dear Christian friends, the story of Aden and Elera beautifully embodies the essence of 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 31, where divine choice upends worldly expectations and values. The apostle of the Lord underscores the idea that God often chooses what the world considers weak and foolish to shame the powerful and wise. This divine intervention of values, or this divine inversion of values, is vividly illustrated in the contrasting lives of Aden and Elera. 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 31 holds two pivotal lessons that resonate with the core of our Christian journey. The first lesson addresses those who consider themselves powerful, strong, or wise. The Apostle Paul enlightens us by revealing that God often chooses what the world deems foolish or weak to accomplish his divine purposes. This is not a mere coincidence, but a deliberate act of God to showcase his power and glory through unexpected vessels. So what does this mean for those who are deemed powerful or wise in the eyes of the world? It is a humbling reminder that our achievements and strengths are not solely the product of our own efforts. They are blessings from God, and we should not boast as if we created them on our own. God's choice to use the foolish and weak to achieve great things is a testament to his sovereignty and a call for us to recognize that in his grand design, everyone has a role to play, irrespective of their worldly stature. The second lesson speaks directly to those who feel marginalized, weak, or foolish. You are the heart of the gospel. The message of Christ is typically for you. In God's eyes, you are of immense value and capable of extraordinary things. The Bible is replete with stories of God using the most unlikely individuals to achieve his purposes. David, a young shepherd who became a king. Mary, a humble maiden who became the mother of Jesus. And Peter, a simple fisherman who became a cornerstone of the church. If you find yourself feeling insignificant or inadequate, remember that God's power is made perfect in weakness. Your perceived limitations are not barriers to God. They are the very platforms on which his glory can be displayed. Embrace your identity in Christ, knowing that he has chosen you. He loves you and is actively working through you. 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 31 is a powerful reminder of God's upside-down kingdom. In this divine economy, the weak are strong, the foolish are wise, and the last will be first. God's way of doing things flips the script on what the world thinks matters. It is not the spotlight or the top of the ladder that counts. It is being part of something bigger, something divine, that really flips the world's values on their head. Let us therefore walk in humility, recognizing that our strengths are gifts from God, and embrace our weaknesses, knowing that in them God's power is made manifest. Whether you see yourself as strong or weak, wise or foolish, remember that in God's eyes you are chosen. Remember that in God's eyes you are loved. Remember that in God's eyes you are equipped to fulfill his divine purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. God of wisdom, we acknowledge that without your illumination, we can easily misinterpret or overlook the riches of your revelation. We thank you for using even the weak things of the world to accomplish great purposes for your kingdom. We rely on your Spirit to help us comprehend the breadth, length, height, and depth of your love and wisdom. Teach us through your word, and let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. God is using each one of us to accomplish his great purposes in the world. Our next theme is about discipleship, God sending us, and as we are called upon to accept that call. I, the Lord of sea and sky. It's hymn 251. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering and let us give thanks to God for ourselves and pray also for the world. Heavenly Father, creator of all that is seen and unseen, we gather here today, hearts brimming with gratitude and humility as we dedicate our offerings to you. In this act of giving, we recognize your divine script, which so beautifully flips the narratives of worldly success and prestige. As we reflect on the transformative power of our faith, we are struck by the profound impact it has had on our lives. We think of a life without your guidance, a path potentially less complicated, yet so devoid of the depth, compassion, and wisdom that you have instilled in us. We thank you for shaping us into better, kinder humans, crafted in the image of your love and grace. Dear Jesus, your teachings have revolutionized our understanding of success and victory. You taught us to love our enemies, to pray for those who challenge us, and to halt the cycle of hatred with the power of your love. This wisdom does not just change us, it changes the world around us. Our lives enriched by your teachings are a testament to the true meaning of success, a success measured in love, peace, and service to others. We recall the words of Paul to the Corinthians, reminding us that before your call, we were not the epitome of worldly wisdom or power. Yet in your infinite wisdom, you chose us, the unlikely, the overlooked. In these, you demonstrate that the values of the world are not the values of your kingdom. You see beyond the accolades and achievements, and you invite us to play a crucial part in your divine plan. Dear Father, we dedicate our offerings to you not as a symbol of worldly success, but as a testament to our role in your greater purpose. May these gifts, humble as they may be, become instruments of your will. Use them to uplift the forgotten, to heal the broken, and to spread your love in a world that so desperately needs it. God, in turning over the world's leaderboard, you remind us that our worth is not in what we accumulate or achieve, but in our relationship with you and in our service to others. As we give today, we do so as part of your assembled cast, playing our path in your grand narrative of redemption and grace. Bless us, bless our offerings, multiply them, and use them for the advancement of your kingdom. Lord, our God, we lift up the current turmoil in our world, especially in the Middle East. And we think this day particularly of the ongoing conflict involving the Houthi rebels in Yemen. We pray for stability in this region and that the ripples of conflict do not adversely impact the broader international community, especially the West. May your wisdom and peace prevail in the midst of these complex political struggles. We turn our prayers towards Ukraine, a nation grappling with the devastation of war. Lord, stretch out your hand of protection over its people. Bring an end to the conflict and heal the land and hearts of those affected. May your presence be a source of comfort and strength. We pray also for the Anglophone Cameroon crisis, that this war may cease and that peace may return. In the United Kingdom, we pray for wisdom and guidance amidst the political challenges and decisions facing the nation. Grant discernment to the hearts, that they may act justly and seek the welfare of all citizens. Father, we remember the sick, the bereaved, and all who mourn. May they find solace in your loving embrace. Comfort them in their sorrow, heal their wounds, and fill their hearts with your peace that surpasses all understanding. As we begin this coming week, guide our steps in the way of peace. Use us, Lord, even the least among us, to accomplish your will on earth. May our actions reflect your love and grace, and may we be instruments of your divine purpose. We pray for this congregation and parish, for all our Christians, and for the Church of Scotland at large. Empower us to use our witness to bring change in a world teetering on the brink of chaos and disunity. May our faith be a beacon of hope and unity, drawing others closer to you. Lord, we are reminded that in your kingdom, the last are first and the first are last. Help us to embrace this divine reversal, focusing not only on earthly accolades, but on serving you and our fellow people. May our lives be a testament to your transformative power and love. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Please, if you are able, stand, and together let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Our final hymn, 694. peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.